All right. I want you to turn real quick to Isaiah 43. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, my wife happened to just come into the office while I was studying and begins to tell me about what the Lord gave her this morning. I'm just staring at her like, "Ooh, I love you. I love you." And she's just thinking, "Oh, you love me because I look fine." Well, yeah, you do. But I knew one thing was for sure is that God had something planned. And so when she told me that scripture, it was so much confirmation to me what it was about. So to go to Isaiah 43, and I want you to go to verse 15, if you would, please. We honor God whether we stand or we sit. We honor him when we put the word to use. Amen. Isaiah 43 and verse 15, I will begin reading. "And the Lord, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? It will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for myself will declare my praise." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is a substance that we need, the sustenance to our mind, spirit, body, and soul. I thank you, Lord, that your word has gone forth and that you are the word. You are the word. And that as we eat of the word, it gives strength and strength to our bones. It gives strength into our spirit and strength into our soul. I thank you it gives us strength to even climb every mountain. Lord, I just thank you that we are a people that you have destined and predestined for greatness. So, Father, I just thank you for the reading of your word. We honor it by doing as it says for us to do. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children said amen. All right. I hope you liked that little clip there that I showed you on the video. Sometimes we don't realize what we have that's in us until we have to go through something. And then you realize you have the ability to overcome it. How are you going to finish? That was good. You going to finish strong? I was barbecuing on Friday evening, and I kept hearing something. Like, I thought it was in the trees. And I kept hearing something, and it was, you know, like a bird that was crying, but it wasn't a bird. Had to look past the trees way up in the sky, and it was a hawk. Now, we don't have eagles over here, but they're hawks are from the eagle family. And I could hear it cry. I could hear it cry out. I was like, wow. But it's by itself, I thought. But as I kept looking up, and I'm barbecuing, I'm looking, what is that? My neighbor, Mr. Wilson, happens to see me looking up, and he thinks, like, I'm looking at my trees, like, oh, you need to trim those. But then he hears the cry. He goes, oh, wow, do you see that? I said, well, I see, I think it's a falcon. He goes, yeah, it's a falcon. But do you see the baby following it? It's like, oh. That was good. Oh. And I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I see it now. The mother was calling for the baby. Now, of course, the babies, they're not little babies. They're big wingspans, okay, was following it. And I said, but how do you know it's the baby? He says, watch. Watch the pattern. This Wilson's telling me, you know, Wilson like this. So, you know, watching, and the big one, the mom would go like this and then come down and dive. Then the baby would follow to the same pattern. I was like, wow. Meat starts burning. So, okay. I lose all train of thought. But then this morning, well, actually last night, I was thinking, like, what? I know you're showing me something. You're showing me something. And then he brought me back to Wednesday night's message. He says, you're afraid when you get to the plateau where nothing is happening in your life on the climb up your mountain. Because some mountains are not made to be cast away. They're made in your life for you to climb. So as you climb your mountain, you begin to understand what God has given you, and you find out what's inside of you that's going to help you get to your next level. He says, but the plateau, he goes, think about it. Where do the eagles nest? On the face of the mountain. I said, well, now you got my attention. So I start going on the website, and on the internet, and I start looking by eagles, and they're nesting in this net. Well, you know, it's interesting. When the eagles start nesting, they bring all these branches, big branches, because eagles are big. And when they bed down the branches, they're in a perfect circular figure, right? But then they also put all this plushness on there where they lay the eggs, not without going through all the details on how they do it. But now, after a while, the eaglet is eating, growing, getting bigger and bigger. But what I realize is that the eagles, their mates, they mate for life, they begin to take out all the plushness out of the nest so that it makes it uncomfortable that they can't always lay down. So I said, "Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying?" He says, "Marty, are you uncomfortable?" "Yes, I'm uncomfortable. Now that you're talking to me this way, yes." He says, "Have you felt uncomfortable in your services?" "Yes." "Why you stop talking now?" "Hello?" "Nothing. Nothing." I put my headphones on. I need my answer. "Finish your sentence, God. Finish it. Finish it. Why am I uncomfortable? Why am I uncomfortable?" Some things God's not going to speak to you about you. You got to already know it about yourself. Mm-hmm. So then I had to do my own soul searching. Soul, your mind, Marty, your will, and all of your emotions. That's the soul searching. I said, "What are you showing me, God? Am I still a baby?" He says, "Yes, you're still a baby. You're still a baby. You've gotten comfortable in the area of your life because I made it very comfortable for you. Because in the season that you were in, you needed to be cared for in this manner." He says, "But now I have removed everything that's going to give you that cushion to rest in." How many of you have gone through that time? It's like, this don't feel good. This just doesn't feel good anymore. It don't even feel like I'm supposed to be in this. So I'm like, "Lord, now something's pricking me on my left and my right. Now something's really pricking me in the rear to get up, boy. Get up. Quit trying to sit down when I'm calling you to go to greatness." Amen. Then I start now looking at it, and I start looking at these videos about the eaglets and when they first learn to fly. They will get out of the nest. And watch this. And watch prophetically. Listen. They do get out of the nest, but they don't go away from it. They stay right around it out of fear. An eaglet only knows the inside of a nest. Now it gets out to something strange in you, realizes, "Okay, now my feet are working. My feet are good," but hasn't realized it has wings yet. Because if you watch, before they ever take off, they learn to hop first. They hop from branch to branch, but they go always right back to the nest. And the moment they try to jump back in the nest, the mother eagle pushes it. Pushes it. Mm-hmm. "Well, that's not nice." "Oh, yeah, it's a good push." Pushes that eaglet out. Now, on the face of the mountain, can you imagine now what the real fear is? Because there's no trees that it can jump back and forth. Those eagles, the bald eagles, are different. The bald eagles, they will always nest on the face of a mountain. I said, "Lord, now you're talking about my eagle now. Now you're talking about my eagle. If you're talking about my eagle, you got my attention." He says that when they look down, this is an eagle that doesn't know what's in them, they can take them up. They're more afraid of falling than they are of flying, not knowing the ability that is in them is to soar once they get over the fear of falling. And what I wanted to tell you, what the Lord told me, "Son, you're so afraid of falling, you'll never soar. You're looking at the past failures of your life, and you're afraid to soar because you're afraid to take that step. And your past failures will always keep you close to the nest, but you'll never climb the height that you're supposed to climb." But it isn't until that eaglet finally just takes that dive that it still doesn't realize, and it doesn't happen the first time either, that the mother eagle watches it and watches it, watches it. And right when it's about to, it'll just come and catch it if it didn't get it the first time. We're afraid of that step because we're afraid that God's not going to catch us. Oh, he's going to catch us, but he's the one also pushing us. He's pushing us to our next level of greatness. And as he pushes us, he's going to get us to that point where we'll be able to take it. And we'll be able to soar, and we'll get over our fears. We'll get over our fears. I said, Lord, now I got it now. He goes, did you get your answer? Yeah, I'm afraid of my past. Well, rightfully so. Because our testimonies are really PG. They're not really real. Because if we were to tell real testimonies in here, some of us would be shocked. But God has always had a plan. So I said, Lord, but what are you going to show me with this? What is this for? He says, my people, they'll get to a certain level and they quit. Right before their greatest breakthrough, they quit because it's too hard. They quit because they don't know what's ahead. And not only that, they quit because it's too tough. Sometimes they feel like they're about to fall and God won't be there to catch them. I'm talking about myself, guys. I get scared. I said, just do it afraid. Marty, do it afraid. He says, you don't fear no man. No, I don't fear man at all. I don't care how big you are, how mean you are, how ugly you are. I don't fear no man. The Bible tells me, do not fear the one that can kill the flesh. Fear the one that can kill the soul and the flesh. So, Lord, I'm only afraid of you. And a woman that has a long finger that points at me at night, at times. You feel me on that one, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give it, hey. What I wanted to show you, if you would, I want you to go to Isaiah 40, please. Just back up a little bit. Put it in reverse. Go to Isaiah 40. This is what the Lord began speaking to me. Nothing of your time invested would be wasted. Nothing of your time invested will be wasted. Did you get that? How many of us invested time in some things? And you've labored through prayer. You've labored through fasting. You've labored through ridicule and sense of failures and sense of people saying that it's not in you, it's not for you, and you think that really maybe it isn't for me, but your time invested in it is not wasted at all. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended. Amen. That her iniquity has been removed. Thank you, Jesus. That she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Y'all already missing that. And let the rough road become plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the Lord, from the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Go to verse 9. Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear, say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock, and in his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes. Go to verse 28, please. Verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Well, I'm here to tell you that this is a prophetic statement for the people of God. We don't just mount up like an eagle. We're realizing that we are, in the spirit, the eagles that God has called for us to soar. But we have been under the oppressor, the bondage, if you would, of a religious spirit for too long. It makes you feel like you can never get past who you once were, which makes you have you a hard time to embrace your new identity. And if you don't know who you are, you'll never get the things that God wants to get to you because you're so caught up in the things of the past. God wants to get something to you that's fresh in you. But if it's fresh in you, something's got to be tailored for you. You just can't get it off the rack and think it's going to fit you just right. There may be some alterations for you. Some things may need to be cut away. No, I see somebody already missing that. I think we need to get some coffee out in the people and put some IVs in their veins, because we need to wake some people up for a little bit, because the Bible is saying that I'm going to make the mountains and the hills come low, and I'll make the valleys go up. See, what God is doing is shifting and transitioning us out of having to climb, and he's going to bring it low so we can walk on a sure-footed place. But see, we are so caught up that it's so hard. Because we have seen this mountain for so long, we think that every step we're taking, we're still on the mountain. He says, I will bring it low so that you will walk on a sure-footed plain. And you've been in the desert for so long that you don't realize that I will make the rivers flow. I will make the rivers flow. You've been parched. You have not what you're in need of, but I will make the rivers flow in your wilderness experience. And in this wilderness experience, you'll know that God is pushing you. He's pushing you because he knows what's inside of you. And if you give up, you'll miss it. Not only will you miss it, you'll miss what he has intended for you today. Not for later, today. We think that because we got to wait for God to do something later on, he's more concerned about your todays. Does he not say, do not put your mind to anything, worry for tomorrow? Today has enough problems on its own. I got you today. Don't worry, and I got you tomorrow. And I will have you the next day as well. Don't even worry about it. I got you. And when God says, I got you, he don't say anything, because who can he swear by? Huh? He's not a man that shall lie. And if he says he's got you, he'll prove it to make his word true. Will he not prove it? I got you. Okay, I'm going to begin to get into my message. That's just it was the bread before dinner. I already put the oil and the spices on the table for you. Some of y'all might make you so hungry, you're going to go to Zio's and eat up all that bread. Put that garlic and all that seasoning right there on that table. And then they drizzle all that olive oil just like that, and they make it look real pretty. The bread come out so hot that the butter melts right on top of it. Then you just dip that thing in there. That's what I gave you. I just gave you some morsels right now. But I'm about to give you something that you need. That you need. Amen. I want you, if you would, please go to Exodus. Exodus 2. I'm going to show you an eagle. I'm going to show you an eagle that needed to be nudged out. Go to Exodus 2 and you're there. Say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love my phone. My phone. I have all my messages are on here now. Are you there in Exodus 2? Now watch this. Let me start reading for you. Now remember, I'm still talking about eagles. So, well, how does an eagle, how does that work for me? I'm going to show you how. Put yourself in Moses' shoe, okay? You're Moses. Every single one of you are Moses right now. All right? Who are you today? Moses. We on that thing now. All right. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now the purpose for the hiding was because there was a decree that was given to the midwives to go and kill all the male childs and throw them into the Nile. All right? But then when Pharaoh realized that the midwives said, hey, wait a minute, these Hebrew women, they give birth quick. They're fast and they're strong. They don't need midwives. So now what happened was she saw that Moses was beautiful. I can't let nothing happen to this Moses. So what she does is now puts Moses in a basket. A nest? What? I'm Moses. Say Moses. You're the eagle. You're the eagle. Okay, watch. I'm going to put this all together. I'm going to wrap it up real good in a package for you. You can take it home with you, and you can eat it later, too. Watch. This is good for you. This is good. This is good. Put it in a wicker basket, covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. Watch this. His sister. This is good stuff. I'm telling you, the Bible's so good. Jesus. The sister is now watching this little basket. And the little eaglet just go on by itself. But the sister has to watch. We can't even get sisters in the church today to watch out for everybody else. Just following after her own brother because she's scared for her brother. That's my baby. I prayed for so long for my brother. I prayed so long for my baby brother. Now I got to give this up. I got to give my baby brother up. Oh, no. She's going into Egypt. Oh, you're going into Egypt, not Egypt. They're going to kill you. Oh, no, they're going to kill you, Moses. They're going to kill you. Here comes Pharaoh's daughter now. Comes right in as she's bathing, washing herself, and takes the baby from this nest as it's crying. And she takes it to the mama. Can we keep him? That's a Hebrew boy. Didn't daddy say to kill them all? Are you following the story? Didn't daddy say to kill all of the boys? This is a Hebrew boy. He came in that nest. Mama, can we keep him? And here's a sister that was watching all along. You want me to go get a Hebrew woman to nurse it for you? Go get. Yes. And the mama comes. Sometimes you don't know what's coming your way. Sometimes you think that what the enemy has sent your way to cause harm unto your loved ones, cause harm into the things that you have buried, and you went through that labor pain, you went through all of that, and then you got even the pain to let it go. And then you have to watch it and watch it go, and you think it's never going to come back. It's a prophetic statement that says, don't you worry, baby, because I know what you went through. I'm going to make sure that you're the one that cares for this child, because that blessing was for you. And when you think that you let that child go into the world system and that it was about to die, I'm going to bring you into Egypt myself and make you nurse your own child. And as you nurse your own child, you'll be in that palace with them where you were out there wondering how you were going to make it. You're going to come right in, and I'm going to bring you into a palace. And in the palace, I'm going to bring your daughter with you, and you're going to be able to raise your child, and the sister's going to be able to have her brother the whole time. I hope you're seeing it. This eaglet could not take milk from nobody else but the mama. And God found a way to get mama in there to nurse this child. She didn't know that what she was putting in that nest. I don't know who's going to take care of my baby. I don't know who's going to be there to raise him up. I don't know if they're even going to kill him. I don't know what to do. And it says that she put tar over it. It was a process to create the tar. It had to be fire that had to be burned to put the tar on it. So she took some time to do everything she could before she released it. And then God brings that baby into the house. The sister knew, let me go find you a Hebrew slave. And she knew all of, mama, come on. I got the key that opened the door. Amen. She had the right key. It opened the door and mama came in. She was able to nurse her own son. Watch this. This is beautiful. Go to verse 9. Verse 9. Then the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages. You're going to tell me that I was going to lose my son. I was going to give my son up just so that it does not say that she prayed, did not say that she fasted, did not say that she was ever going to see this child again. She was just saying, Lord. But now things are going to turn. come nurse this boy, and I'm going to pay you for what you had to do all by yourself and not get paid for it. I'm going to pay you to nurse your own child. What the enemy has meant for evil, God will turn it for your good. He'll turn it for your good. Can you imagine? Her midnight hour was at that time that the baby was going away from her. And in that midnight hour, whether it's daylight outside or not, God says, I'm turning this whole thing around. You may not even see it happening, but I've always got someone. The daughter, the sister was representative of the Holy Spirit. I watch my word to perform it. I watch it to perform it. And in its due season, I will go get you and bring you to your promise. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't even back away, for your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. See, that mama had to let go, and she had to say, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, I hear you, I hear you. And when she released, she got it 100-fold back into her life. Not only that, she was taken out of a hut and put into a palace and put into a better nursery than she ever had. He says, when the scripture came to play, he says, I have houses that you didn't build. I have vineyards you didn't plant. And when I bring you into this place, train up a child in the way that it should go. When he gets older, he will not depart from it. Oh, you don't hear me, you don't hear me. Let me just tell the story. I ain't gonna read. Let me just tell you. As he begins to grow up, he grows up in a system. And in this system is Pharaoh's system. But mama's right there. Boy, don't you get crazy. Don't you get crazy. You know I'm your mama. Something tells me that Pharaoh's wife knew something. Kind of looked like that woman there. Matter of fact, that daughter. Y'all are family. Pharaoh had a tendency to have to overlook that. Why? Because Moses was beautiful. Moses was beautiful. How many of you have some children that you feel like are getting lost in the world? That are going through so much and you don't think you can get to them. You let them go. You let them go. Mama had to let me go and fall hard. Hard. But what happened was God got a hold of me. And when he got a hold of me, I'm going to go get your mama. Bring your mama here. And she's going to nurse you through this. You don't know what's happening in your life. You just got to go through it. But this little eaglet was learning something. He was getting food brought to him in his nest. See, the nest came out now and they took all the plushness away. And then once he started growing up, it says that when he was Moses turned 40 years old, started looking, he says, I don't look like these Egyptians. Them look like my people over there. 40 years, a whole generation. 40 in scripture represents a generation. This generation, if you read Exodus and you understand the five books of the Pentateuch, the five first books, you're going to understand something about numbers. Numerology plays a very important role in the scriptures at this point. Moses begins his journey as a generation being trained up in the world system where you feel like you're not going to make it. You don't quite understand it, but in this system, I'm raising up a generation that will know how to deliver people out of that system. At 40 years, he sees that the Hebrew slaves are being mistreated by an Egyptian, and he pulls a Marty. Read your scripture. He looks around. Ain't nobody watching. Well, he fell down. He winds up killing one of the Egyptians because he knew there was some kind of connection with these Hebrews, but he didn't quite know it yet. And for the fear of his life, the eaglet begins to leave the nest. Hasn't soared yet. He's just kind of hopping around. He goes into the backside of the mountain, where he meets these women that are watering the sheep. And he has to fight off some of the other shepherds that are coming in to water just so that they can get water to the sheep. He found favor. And so then what happens is now Jethro becomes now his father-in-law and gives him his own daughter, and they marry in the wilderness. Now, how come nothing happened while he was in Egypt that he couldn't find a wife when he was already 40. Some of y'all are so quick to get married in their 20s and 30s, but you 40 years old, something takes place in Moses' life. 40 years. But if you read on the story, 40 years later, another generation has emerged. Remember, the number 40 is generation. Another generation in the wilderness has emerged. 40 years of what was taught of the world system and 40 years taught out in the wilderness. Here's what I want you to understand. Moses never had to work a day in his life when he was between the day he was born till he was 40 years old. Didn't have to work. So now what does Jethro tell him? Get to work. What does that word mean? Work. It's not in my dictionary. What is that? You ain't got no slaves? Where I come from, I got slaves to do all that. I got to do it? I got to work? Shoot, you ain't got me no iPhone. You ain't got me no iPad. I ain't working yet. You got to work. He's used to having everything done for him. Did you notice that in the scriptures when he's alone, mama and sister are nowhere around? Some things you got to go through alone to get what God needs to get to you. Amen. As you, when you go through it alone, you start to realize really what's inside of you. So he had to learn some things. He had to learn that the sheep that he was tending, they weren't pretty. They didn't smell good either. He had to realize that I don't have a change of clothes anymore like I used to have. I used to have all my Jordans lined up, all the different colors. I used to have my Nike socks and Jordan socks that went right with it. I used to have my Air Nike shirts that go right with it. Now I just got what I just left with, and I don't know what to do with myself. I'm hungry now. But I'm out here in this wilderness in this heat, and it's uncomfortable. Never had to do this in my life. 40-year-old man. 40 years old, having to embrace something new, something different, something that was uncomfortable. Say, Daddy was pushing. Daddy was pushing that eaglet to learn something about what he needed to do, who he needed to become. That eaglet was getting pushed by God. So now he's out there learning how to shepherd these sheep, realizing these sheep are not pretty like they show in the pictures that we had on our wall over there in my room. I had beautiful pictures that I could see because my palace was above, and I could see this ugly, dry place out there. But the sheep that I saw from a distance look nice, but when I get up close, they're dirty. They're stinky. And there's sheep dung everywhere. And everywhere that I'm walking, I'm stepping on this sheep dung. I'm seeing snakes that we know. I've realized there's some scorpions and some spiders, and there's some things that I have never had to see in my life. Because when I was in my room, I was on my mountaintop looking down to this valley, never thinking I was ever going to be in it. But now here I am in it, not understanding why I'm going through what I'm going through, having to tend sheep. But Lord, I thank you gave me a wife. And I had a son. Now, all of a sudden, now God begins to speak to Moses. As he speaks to Moses, Moses wasn't praying. Moses wasn't doing anything but what he was told to do, tend my sheep. Work. He sees a burning bush at a distance. You reading the story? Read along. He sees a burning bush. It's so hot, I feel like I'm burning now. Another bush burning. This one was different. So let me go see what's going on in this burning bush. As he began to approach, God says, oh, now your old mindset is gone. Now you want to be inquisitive about what's really going on. See, what I want to tell you is your destiny is in the fire. It wasn't in the bush. It was in the fire. Because God spoke from the fire. And in that fire, he began to speak to Moses, and he said, like I said earlier, he came behind, he came and he looked, he said he took a step to the side and realized it wasn't being consumed, which says that Moses knew something about fire. He knew something was not right. It was supernatural taking place. And then the voice speaks, and it's God himself. Remove your shoes, for the place that you stand is holy ground. Said it earlier. I've been here before. I used to bring the sheep all through here. How is this holy ground? Wherever the presence of God is holy. Not the bush, not the fire. God chose to use fire to let him know that in the midst of what you're going through, it feels like fire, but you're not going to be consumed. You're not going to be burnt up by it. Matter of fact, you'll know that I'm in it. And if I'm in it, I'll be there right with you, and I'll get you right through it. So after that, he spoke that to Moses. Moses knew something was going on. He even commands Moses, what is in your hand? A stick. Throw it on the ground. Read it in the story. It turned into a snake, and Moses ran. Read it in the Bible. It tells you. He ran. Pick it up. Pick it up. So he reaches for it and turns right back into a staff. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's something to this, God. Now he's being trained in the supernatural. Now he's being trained by the Spirit of God to do the things that are necessary for the kingdom. Where was Mama and his sister at this time? Matter of fact, where was Jethro? Matter of fact, where was his wife? Where was his son? Nobody around but him and God. What you got to go through, sometimes you feel like you're alone. And sometimes you feel like you're about to be consumed by this wilderness experience. But it wasn't until he was on the backside of the mountain, the backside of the mountain. Sometimes you got to be hidden. You got to be in obscurity. You got to be someplace that nobody knows you're there. And the only people that know that you're there is just you and God. And then these sheep that stink all around you anyhow. But all of a sudden, sometimes you just got a tendency to talk to some sheep. Because you got nobody else to talk to. You know how we are, because some of y'all, when y'all start to pray and y'all really going through things, you start talking to anything. Most Christians in their vehicles, they look funny. Especially if they're by themselves. They just start to just go off in tongues. They start to get the Holy Ghost. They start to just begin to shake. They begin to weep. Some begin to just shout out. People looking at them, oh, Lord, what's going on with them? You go through what you go through, but he wants to make sure that you understand that he's with you the whole time. So now as Moses was getting nudged by God, getting pushed by God, now it's time to soar. Now it's time for you to fly. How was Moses ever going to realize he was called to be a leader? He was leading the sheep that couldn't respond, give him any type of negativity. Just listen. The sheep were teaching Moses how to be a leader. So Moses heard the command of God. He had to do it. Moses, God says, put your hand inside your breast. Bring it back out. And it was full of leprosy. Put it back in. Brought it back out. It was made whole. This is cool, God. We can do this. Now go to Pharaoh. What? Go to Pharaoh. They want to kill me. They want to kill me because I killed them. So he has to go back. Now watch, here's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to go back so that you can bring people out. You ever felt like you had something get on you and you just like, why is this going on in my life? Why does this feel like I'm not going to overcome this? Because it's not what is on you that is going to destroy you. It is what it's on you that are going to bring people out. Because God is allowing you to go through it. Allowing you. He didn't ask your permission. He's just allowing it. So when the generation that now is being raised up, now Moses, the eaglet, goes before Pharaoh. You know the story. All these kind of plagues start happening. But can you imagine Pharaoh said, wait a minute, son, you were in my house. Now, mama may be here, sister may be here, but something tells me you were here before. Because remember, the old Pharaoh passed away. There's another Pharaoh now. He says, but I know the system in which I teach my children here in this system, you didn't learn what you learned because I didn't teach it to you. How is it that you can conjure up these snakes? So can my magicians. you can turn water into blood, so can my magicians. So there were things that he was doing that he was saying, like, wait a minute, this isn't working, God. This isn't working. God is still nudging. I won't let you soar. But before you can ever soar, you got to know what's in you first. You've got to know what's in you. And one of the things that you find out is he learned how to lead. He understood who he was. He understood what he was called to do. And then at that point, then he said, I've just got to go and just do it. Just do it. So when he gets there to Egypt, he begins to do the things that God has called him to do because he learned how to listen. He learned how to obey. And the more that he did it, his wings began to get more strength. And as it gets more strength, now each time he went before Pharaoh, he was realizing, at some point, I've got to do this thing. At some point, I have just got to take this step, and I'm going to soar. The soaring didn't come until he got out. And God says, now, go into your house and take the blood of the lamb and put it over your doorpost. And everyone that doesn't shall be saved. But anybody that comes out, anyone that comes out will lose their life. After going through all the plagues and all the things that went on in Pharaoh's house, once he's released and takes the people out, they get blessed on them departing. But it wasn't until the wings of Moses began to open up when he began to trust God, when he faced the Red Sea and Pharaoh was chasing him. Sometimes God will put you in that place. He'll put you in that place. I don't know how I'm coming out, and I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. But then you realize, jump. Jump. And he begins to soar, because what he did is lead a people out of captivity and led them back into the wilderness where he was once becoming accustomed. He had to learn about the wilderness experience before he could bring people out so they could learn about the wilderness experience. Sometimes we go through so that we understand when people are going through on how to minister to them. See, what the thing was is they knew how to be in a palace. They knew how to be slaves. Don't see, when they came out, they started complaining about food too, didn't they not? They started complaining, well, there's nothing for us to eat here. We could have just died, but we would have been eaten back as slaves. You got to go through what you go through, even if you're the only one in your family that is going through it. Maybe it's just you and no one's following you, but you're going through something so, so bad. But God wants you to understand what's inside of you. And what's inside of you, maybe we haven't even tapped yet. We haven't even tapped into our strength yet because we're so focused on our weaknesses, or we're so focused on everything else that we've gone through that we can't embrace what God wants us to get to. Moses had realized that I need to jump. I need to quit hopping around over here, and I got to do what I'm supposed to do. And as we do what we're supposed to do, we realize something. God is trying to make you uncomfortable where you're at, so that you can get to that new place and realize the strength that is in you. That strength that is in you is going to get you further and further in him. Not with your gifts. It had nothing to do about the gifts. It has to do about him inside of you, which is the strength. And the more of you have of God in you, you begin to understand what God has for you. He has more. If God is infinite, that means he is never going to run out. If he's infinite, then he's never going to stop giving to you. If he's infinite, nothing that you can do will ever stop his love for you. But you have to realize it when you go through. How many of us have gone through and wonder, are we ever going to get out of this one? I feel like I'm sitting on this ledge and I'm tired of this ledge. I'm tired of it. God wants us to get further in him. He does. He's going to challenge you. He's going to exhort you. He's going to put someone in your life to speak truth to you. You may not like the truth. You may not like it. Or you may not like the delivery of the truth. Then you'll get caught up on the delivery as opposed to the truth. Well, you could have said it. I said it the way it needed to be said. Truth is truth. Put it to use. Well, Jesus didn't talk. Jesus walked into the church and threw everybody out. Well, because that was righteous indignation. Oh, so for me telling you the truth is not, it's not right because the way I said it. We're not babies. You're just so used to being in the nest for so long that when it gets uncomfortable, you're still looking to jump back in that nest and have mama and daddy give you that fish or that worm so that you eat it, but yet you'll never learn how to hunt unless you get out the nest. You'll never learn how to feed yourself unless you get out the nest. You've got to understand that God has put you in a place so that you have an understanding that you need to grow. And how you grow is through the challenges when it's uncomfortable. If God is making you uncomfortable where you're at, it's time to grow. It's time to grow. How are you going to grow? Hear His voice. Hear His voice. And when you hear His voice, know this, there's many voices too. You'll hear your own voice, you'll hear the enemy's voice, and you'll hear the voice of God. But if you find out in Scripture that the prophet knew how to call down fire from heaven, knew how to call down all kinds of supernatural things, but what he did not know is the small, still voice. We're still looking for all the power and the glory and the shout, shout. We don't know how to hear the silence. Because in the silence, God speaks. And he speaks volumes. Be still. Be still. He's leading you to a place. And in that place, you may feel like, I've been at this plateau too long. I'm tired of looking down. Tired of looking down. He says, that's your problem. You're looking down and you're not looking up. Because when you look up, you realize one thing. There's where you're meant to be. You're never meant to be down there. You're meant to soar. Know the potential that's in you. But Pastor, we've got to go through our valleys. Yeah, you go through them. But don't set up camp in the valley. Go through it. What happens, we get a report and we just stay with that report. And we think we just got to stay there. You don't understand what I'm going through. I don't need to understand. I've been through a valley in my life. I've been through a desert in my life. But I went through it. And you need to go through it. Go through. Don't stay there. Many times we stay there because we want everybody to say, woe is you. Or, I'm so sorry. And oh, I don't know how God is going to do this. I don't know how you're making it. And we get so comfortable with the people coming around you that we use that as a crutch. And we never get enough strength to get out of our own nest. And we need to soar. We need to soar. You need to be challenged. And in this challenge, know this, you're going to overcome. You're going to overcome. I ask God, is there anything that I must do myself to make a change? He says, will you trust me? Yes, I'm going to trust you. Will you believe that I'll lead you to clean waters? Yes. Will you trust that I'm going to lead you to a pasture that you can eat and strengthen yourself? Yes. Do you believe that I'm going to help you every step of the way? Yes. Then God, then all of my answers are yes. So, but when I don't speak, what are you going to do? When I don't speak, what are you going to do? I just got to sit and wait. And as uncomfortable as it may get, got to trust. Just got to trust. Don't quit, guys. You saw in that video, the greatest success usually comes because of adversity. God is trying to train you and to get you ready for your success. But adversity you feel like is from the adversary, and it's not. Life is hard to begin with. It is. Bills come right on time. Right on time. Matter of fact, they usually come before it's on time. And you're waiting on God and you don't think he's ever coming on time. But God knows what he's doing. We don't. We try to put our thoughts in his thoughts. We try to put our ways in his ways. So then he speaks to his son, my ways are not your way. Well, that's for sure, because I don't like where I'm at. Yeah. How many of you have been challenged? How many of you have been challenged? If you haven't been, you get ready, because here it comes. Here it comes, because it's going to challenge you. Because we got to grow. We got to grow. The bride of Christ, the body, has to grow. I don't mean numbers in church. I mean the kingdom has to grow. We're so caught up in numbers, building a church or building that. What is the next program we're going to do? How about what is the next thing we're going to do for God in the kingdom? How are we going to help people to understand that God is good and that they can find a church somewhere? Not necessarily this church, just somewhere where God will meet them. And then there's places where they got to get to this church. And if they just get here, God will meet them. He'll meet them. But what I see that happens a lot is people get to church and hold on to, I don't want to let this go because this is what I know. You got to let it go. Because what's ahead of you is greater things. Greater things. And whatever it is, it's formed and fitted for you. Get used to it. Get acclimated to it. Get very acquainted with it. Because something new is here. And it's fresh. It's nothing of the old. If you're more concerned about the old, you're going to miss the new things that God has for you. Amen. Michael, will you get the envelopes, please, and pass those out. I want to pray as I close this that your understanding that God is moving for you. When it feels like you've been holding on and you almost let go, God is never going to let you fall too far that he can't lift you up. There's not a place in hell that he can't reach you. The Bible says if you make your bed in hell, he'll be right there with you. You have to understand that God is always with you, never leaves you. Well, I go through some tough times. So does everybody else. We really do. Just when you think you're just about ready to take a breather. Oh, Lord, here it comes. It changes. It does.